Hope and Nudie. Hope.
Hey there, Nudie.
Hey. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Today, we got a lot to talk about because the jazz season's over. So we get to jump into a whole next chapter of what to look forward to with the Jazz.
It all happened so fast.
You know what? It's as if just last week we were talking about their potential for the next series. And so, yeah. But, yep, so they lost. It's okay. Golden State's good. Whatever.
They're going to win the championship.
They'll win the championship. Jazz looked okay through some games, not good through others.
Whatever. Well, yeah, I mean, just the only thing I want to quickly get through this because it's okay, not interesting, and what happens next is much more interesting. But game three was the closest game. That's usually in like a gentleman's sweep when it's 4-1. Like game three is the one game the other team wins. We did really well. They kind of sucked. But you just saw how much Golden State was better than everyone else because that was just one of those games that an NBA team has where their players weren't making shots. Bad stuff was happening. But then, they have Kevin Durant, so they won.
You know? Yeah.
It just that just showed how insane the Warriors are. Anyways, I'm done with the Warriors.
No. I mean, yeah, because Steph and Klay were like 20% from the field and Durant. They're good. They're a good team.
So. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, I will say I appreciated Gobert throwing a few elbows in there. Shout out Rudy Gobert for being physical.
Yeah.
But, so Pope, tell us, what do we have to look forward to this offseason? What is so exciting that we are skipping the Golden State series altogether?
So, it's a super interesting pivot time for the Jazz. I'm just going to set the stage, big picture, and then we can
paint a picture. Paint me a masterpiece.
I will paint you a mind picture, Nudie.
I'm visualizing.
So, pretty much our entire team is up for their contract after next year, except Rudy Gobert. Gordon Hayward, obviously, as everyone in Jazz Nation knows, is up this year. George Hill is up this year.
Stay Wood.
Ingles is up this year. Those are like the bigger names. But Hayward. So basically, this season, this moment right now, is kind of an inflection point for where we go as a team. If we keep Hayward, then we already have Gobert under a long-term contract. We can build around those two and continue to go forward with them. If we don't get Hayward, then our team will have to take a drastically different direction because we don't have anyone who's ready to take the Hayward role. Mm-hmm. We can build around Rudy Gobert defensively, but as of yet, we can't really build around him offensively. So depending on if we get or keep Hayward, our team will go in two very different directions. And if we keep Hayward, we'll kind of know who we are and we'll have that core identity still. If we don't keep him, we'll be kind of out in the wild and we have to form a new identity. How would you
agree? I completely agree. And, you know, it's such a Jazz thing to happen, right? Hayward gets drafted and everyone boos him because it's like, oh, no, we picked the white guy who's unathletic. Why do we do that? You know? Then he develops and all of a sudden he turns into, like, a star where he's an all-star. He's increased his scoring average every year. Players around the league respect him. He's doing off-season
training with Kobe.
He went and trained with Kobe Bryant, and Kobe Bryant mentioned in an interview just like 2 days ago that he still is in contact with Hayward. So, like, you know, he does all this, and then his contract's up. And it's like, ugh. It's like, that's such a Jazz, like, we almost are there. It's like when Millsap's here in Utah, and then we let him walk, and now he's an all-star, you know. But, yeah, so he's definitely he's the big deal. You can't win a championship without a star. That's the bottom line.
I think especially the big thing that you mentioned in those past situations, like with Millsap or others, Utah is not a free agent destination.
No.
Particularly. We're a small market team. There's not a lot to do. If you have it's an easier sell if you kind of are settled down, you have a family, a couple kids. It's an easier sell. But still, it's not a big destination for free agents, obviously.
Yeah.
So really what we have to sell the people is the fan base will love you and the actual basketball. And with Millsap, we couldn't really sell the basketball. I mean, it was clear that team wasn't really going anywhere.
Yeah, well, and that was a decision, to be fair.
At the time, it was clear they had peaked, you know.
Yeah, and to be fair, that was a decision of management to say, you go explore your options, we're going all in on a young team, you know.
So, but at this moment with Gordon, we really do have basketball reasons for him to stay.
Oh, yeah. So, and I think So I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the exit interviews of the players and coaches Pope.
I haven't. So okay, yeah.
So I thought what stood out is just this team culture that the Jazz have built. That, and I will say credit to Dennis Lindsay and to Quinn Snyder, right? Quinn Snyder has done a good job of all the players respect him. They all like him. They all like playing for him. It's not just like a – it's different. He's a player's coach, but he still commands the respect. And I don't know. It's really – you know, he's great. And every veteran talked about like, oh, I love it here. Like Diaw said, hey, I'd love to stay. If they have to let me go, that's fine. I get it, but I'd love to stay. George Hill said, yeah, I'd like to stay. Joe Ingles said, you know what, I think – everyone on this team would like to stay if it was the option, if they have that option, you know? So I think listening to everyone, we have built this basketball culture and we are right on the pinnacle of maybe taking that next step. But
yeah.
And if Hayward leaves, if Hayward leaves, Hill leaves. And if those two are both gone, you're looking at Dante Exum starting, who I actually think showed potential in the last playoff series against the Warriors, last game against the Warriors, I should say. But, but we have him starting, and you've maybe got Joe Ingles, or you're trying to scramble to find someone to fill that three spot, and, you know,
then
we're in a build for the next 4 years.
Yeah. But so I think it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that there's no reason for us to want Hayward to leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and so
like, here, there's no reason why. It's not like he's too old. It's not like he doesn't fit our system. Right. Like, he absolutely is a green in all those categories. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so this is what I'll say. I think for him, from a basketball sense, it makes sense to stay. He is the star in Utah, right?
I agree.
He can do anything he wants. The fans love him. The coaches love him. His teammates like him or love him, whatever. They all love.
Yeah.
But, he's the star. He runs the show. The offense, Quinn Snyder said in his interview, that we try and tailor things for Hayward to put him in good spots so he can make plays. We try and make it so he is looking good, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this year he proved by making the All-Star team in the Western Conference, which is, you know, that's a – there are a lot of players that, especially in All-Star voting, when it's – there's, like, centers, power forwards, small forwards are all just kind of lumped together in front court.
Yeah, and the All-Star voting is kind of like bogus.
Yeah, so it's, exactly.
Way good.
And so I think from that it happens. Second, from defense, he's got Rudy behind him. He's a good defender. He's not the best.
I would say he's a very good defender. Yeah. I think he's been underrated as far as defender.
Which I agree.
For that Clippers series, he would take Chris Paul for entire possessions, and I didn't really see a problem with how he played it.
Yeah.
He's strong and physical enough to fight through screens, and he also has quickness to guard the one.
Yeah.
Especially someone like Chris Paul. He got beat a couple times because, hey, it's Chris Paul, but I thought he did really well.
That's true. And, you know, and I will say, not only that, but he's also long enough that he had a few where he would guard Blake Griffin, and same thing. He could stay in front of him, but he could also, you know, he was, yeah. No, but I'm saying his defense is good, but he's not like, I don't think you would classify him as, and I don't think the Jazz want to. They don't want to put him on LeBron James the entire game and wear him down with that way. They'd rather him take over the offensive load. And I think that works because he's got Rudy behind him, right?
Yeah.
Because he can play physical and kind of try and jump passing lanes and play good defense because he knows Rudy's back there. And, you know, if he goes to Boston, which is a big rumored spot, that's not there, you know?
Yeah, so let's talk about the few. I think you're right in that the Jazz, basketball wise, make a ton of sense. I think there are a few other teams which would make a basketball sense for him.
Okay, so who's on the top of your list?
Like Boston. Okay. Boston, I think, would make basketball sense. He would have Isaiah to run like the one, the two. He would play just three the whole time. He wouldn't be the only ball handler. He's not the only ball handler here, but when you have Isaiah Thomas as the other ball handler, that takes a lot of pressure off. Sure.
Especially in like fourth quarter situations.
Al Horford is no Rudy Gobert, like you were saying, but they have a lot of good defensive players.
Yeah. Well, and it's his old, you know, and that's Brad Stevens is the purely old college coach.
Yeah. Brad Stevens. I'm talking purely basketball sense.
Yeah.
No, Boston does make sense.
I agree with that. And I was, because if you have a starting lineup with Isaiah Thomas, you have Avery Bradley playing that shutdown defender, 3-and-D player.
Yeah.
And Hayward and Horford. Yeah, you got a pretty solid starting group there.
The few other places which I think make sense in a purely basketball sense. I could see him fitting in on the Spurs.
You think the Spurs would go for that? You think they'd sign him? They've got.
I don't know if they'd go for him. Okay. I don't know if they want to give up that much money.
Yeah,
that's a big play for the Spurs. But on a basketball sense, I think he fits in well with their team. And I think him and Kawhi would be a crazy combination offensively.
Oh, okay.
Just purely basketball.
Yeah. I get it.
What was the other place I was thinking of? Depending on how things go with the Clippers, especially if they do a sign and trade with Blake, I think he could fill in for Blake on the Clippers. Blake Griffin.
Well, I think that one, then it's essentially.
If they kept DeAndre, if they kept Chris Paul, sign and traded Blake, yeah. I think he could slide into that.
Well, because then you probably
better with Blake since Blake is like constantly injured.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, and then you have, I mean, then that's pretty much his team in Utah. Just he's got an elite point guard in Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're trading a better point guard and not quite as much potential with the big man. But it's the same style, right? That big guy that blocks shots.
At the same time, you have zero depth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the three places which I think Boston, San Antonio, the Clippers, which I make sense if he wants to go and win a title and, you know, fit in well with a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he just wants money – I think the Heat are always an option, like never count out Pat Riley. The Lakers always have money, but they haven't signed like a good free agent in like 10 years. Yeah. So like, I don't really trust. I mean, there's plenty of destinations money wise, but yeah. I mean, one thing that that's stuck out to me about Gordon Hayward is I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast where he had David Locke.
The
jazz radio guy. He does a ton of jazz stuff.
Yeah.
And David Locke was just trying to hit home repeatedly how much of a competitor Gordon Hayward was.
Right.
That, yeah, like early on, he definitely fit into that white guy Utah Jazz mold, but he's much more of a competitor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think if you're a normal jazz white guy, you go and train with Kobe Bryant in the offseason to like develop your mid-range jumper, you know what I mean?
Well, Andre Kirilenko and Mehmet Okur never seem to do that, so.
Oh, man, every once in a while I'll just think of Mehmet Okur and it makes me smile. What a beautiful man. But yeah, so what I guess I'm just trying to say is, and here's where I kind of hate about free agency, is that we have to assume a player's motivations and intentions and what he wants for his life and his family and all this stuff. Gordon Hayward seems like someone who wants to win.
Yeah.
That's just me projecting, but I also think there's some truth there. Yeah. So in that sense, I think we have a good shot because we make a ton of sense basketball reasons.
Yeah.
So that's my basketball reasons pitch. I don't know if you want to get into like
the
emotional side, the Brad Stevens, all that, like,
I'm with you. I think, I think the Brad Stevens side, I think it is emotional, but I would put, for me, I don't think he would jump to just on the outside looking in, listening to interviews, reading articles, all that. As much as you can get from those kind of things, my inclination isn't that. Like, I don't think he would just go for sentimental reasons. I think he'd have I think he'd have to weigh it out and say, like, I've got a better chance of making it to the finals and winning it with Boston than I do with Utah. And I think I think you could make a case there. Not entirely. I just, you know, I think that's a.
Yeah, I think for, on a basketball sense, like. In the West, you have to go through the Warriors. In the East, you have to go through LeBron.
Right. So it's kind of pick your poison.
Even though LeBron is super old, and even though I think the Warriors, one of those major pieces is going to leave in the next 2 years. Just their cap roll doesn't make sense.
You have to. I don't think they can. Their depth is going to suffer.
I don't know which of those juggernauts slows down first. But if you go to Boston or if you stay with the Jazz, you're going to have to go through one of them. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and so this is what I'll say. You know, going back to your point about Hayward being a competitor, and I think, you know, training with Kobe, all these things, to be the best, you got to beat the best, right? You got to prove that you can beat them. And it's like you said, no matter what, you're going to have to face. There's a superstar team in each conference, and maybe it's easier to get to play that superstar team in the East, but you're still going to have to play them. And is it really much better to get out the next round in a sweep than it is the round before? You know, who knows? But so from a basketball sense, I'm going to disagree with you a little on Miami. I think from a basketball sense, I could see him listening. I don't think he will, but.
Oh, no, yeah. I just think but, Miami, if Pat Riley is a good negotiator and he can offer them tons of
money. But hear me out. So with Miami, I think he would give them a shot, not just for money, but for a basketball. They have Goran Dragic. Not a world-class point guard. He's good, though. But he's not, you know, he's not fantastic.
They heated up. I just almost said they heated up, and I stalked myself. I am sorry. but they really turned it on. They were, 11 and, 20 or whatever it was, 11 and 25.
And then they tied for the eighth spot.
They basically, won out, essentially.
Right. No, and so, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so they've got potential. Dragic is good. Dion Waiters had a resurgence this year where he was all of a sudden better than he was. So he's a good
shooter. I love Dion Waiters so much.
But he's a good shooter. And then I think you also got a similar to Gobert. You have Hassan Whiteside eating rebounds, playing defense. A little more undisciplined than Gobert, you know, sometimes chases.
Eric Spoelstra is an excellent coach. Yeah, he wouldn't be going to somewhere.
The Heat is, I could see that as a basketball thing. Being said, if I'm going into the emotional part of it, Joe Ingles in his interview said they asked him about the nightlife in Utah, and he said, I've got 9-month-old twins. My nightlife ends at 8. So, everyone laughed. But Hayward's the same way. Hayward in his interview talked a lot about his two girls and how they're growing up fast, and he's taking time away from basketball so he can just focus on his two daughters and see them growing up. And he talked about, Utah, say what you will, but Utah is a pretty, if you're looking for just a quiet, peaceful place to raise your kids, it's pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. Depending on the free agent, I think that's part of the reason why we got Joe Johnson, is because Joe Johnson's just he's 35, he has a family, he doesn't want it. He's not going out to the club every night, maybe every other night. I don't know. I don't know Joe Johnson.
Nightlife.
No, just kidding. But you have a family, you're not doing that all the time. And
right.
Well,
and so, yeah. So, I mean, so that's, if I had to say emotional, I think that's another reason Utah makes sense. That being said, I think to keep Hayward, we have to sign George Hill. George Hill. Just hear me out. George Hill is a good friend of Hayward's, and they're both from Indiana, so they share that. I don't know. Apparently, that's a strong connection when you're both from Indiana or something. I don't know.
Heartland.
Yeah, but they both have talked about it. Hayward really likes him, and Hayward mentioned a few times in his interview, "Hey, we were missing our starting point guard for 3 games," and he repeatedly said, "If we had a point guard, we would have done better," which. It kind of is a slight to Mac and XM, but it's really true,
But Sheldon Mack sucks, so I get it, Gordon. I get it.
But, so there's that. And then there's Hill. Hill in his interview said Hayward's like a little brother to him. And he said Hayward's heart, his heart is in Utah, is what he said. And, I think if you're management, you got to go to Hayward and you got to say, look, we want you to stay. You're the centerpiece. You're the franchise. We will sign whoever you need us to sign if it'll keep you here. And I think George Hill's in that equation. And I think – and I like that too because, look, Hill only played 49 games this season. That's why you don't re-sign him. He hasn't had a year like that his entire NBA career. And they were all kind of freak injuries. Broken big toe. Who breaks a big toe, okay? That never happens. Yeah. And his other one, he got elbowed in the face by Alex Len, and his teeth went through his lip. So, it's not like they were these things of, Favors chronic back injury. Or...
Yeah.
They were, kind of freak accidents that just happened to take him out for a while. And when he played, I think you saw the team improve. And going back to your free agents, who wants to live in Utah... If you're not going to sign Hill to keep Hayward here, you better have a darn good option saying we're signing this other guy who's going to be better. If you could get Kyle Lowry, then sure, let Hill walk. But
here's my George Hill rebuttal.
Okay.
If you go into that Gordon Hayward interview, he's like, I'll sign here if you re-sign George Hill. You sign George Hill, you put him on the phone right then and you re-sign him. You should do that if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
If we re-sign Gordon Hayward and we still have an option on George Hill, I don't think we should re-sign him. I mean, okay. Really? So here's how much money do you think George Hill would ask for over how many years?
That's tough. There was rumors that he was looking for $20 million.
I know. There's rumors he was looking for something close to the max.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if we sign him for $20 million 3-4 years,
yeah,
then that puts him right in line with where Gobert's contract is. That puts him probably a year or two under Hayward's contract. He fits in well with where our team is.
Yeah.
But then that just – I mean – we beat the Clippers. We're improving. We're a team on the rise. We still need another piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That other piece could become Rodney Hood is super consistent. It could become
if
consistent. Derek Favors, which I don't think will ever happen. Mm-hmm. I love you, Rodney Hood. That's never going to happen. I think maybe that becomes Derek Favors, you know, takes that next step and really develops like a mid-range game or even starts shooting. If Derek Favors could shoot threes, he'd be so good.
yeah.
You know, something like that. That could come from within. That could become maybe Dante Exum develops incredibly and he becomes our two, you know? Him and George Hill switch off running point or something like that. All those are options.
Yeah.
But if none of those hits, and right now I don't have confidence, like I don't have maybe above 50% confidence in any of those options hitting.
Okay.
We'll still need another piece.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's fair.
And with our timeline and our players, we don't have time to draft another piece.
Yeah, so that's fair. I guess my question to you then is, who's the other piece? Like, who do you think we can get? Like, where do you see us getting two players for that value who are better than what they're being paid, if you know what I mean? You know, like, if you're not spending that $20 million on Hill, you got to split it between two players to get to that next level.
And well, I think I don't know. I'll have to like deep dive into our cap space.
We actually have like quite a bit.
So right now we're about 14 under the cap.
Yeah.
So let's say we increase George Hill's cap hit to 12 more. So then we'd be 2 million under the cap next year.
But you got to take out Hayward's player option.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Then you had on player Hayward's probably like 25 mil. So then we're probably near the cap, I feel like.
Yeah.
If you re-sign George Hill and we get Gordon Hayward the max deal he deserves.
Yeah. And
that's not even throwing in like Joe Ingles and stuff.
Yeah. And which I'd like to keep. Joe Ingles also said in his interview, just side note, he said, it's no secret. Everyone here knows that I want to stay in Utah. And this is, you know, I just want to be here. This is what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he does. We can give him the most money. You know what I mean? Probably.
Well, he's a restricted free agent.
I don't think we have his bird rights yet, actually.
Yeah, he's a restricted free agent, so we can match any offer.
But here's the thing. It's just so – I definitely think we have a lot of room to improve. I think Gordon Hayward will definitely get better. I just – do you – is our ceiling, you know, 55 wins? Is our ceiling 60 wins? Like, where is that ceiling? Because once we cap out in the next year or two, this is the team. And there's no more room for growth or for flexibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well,
like, what if we sign George Hill and all of a sudden Rodney Hood becomes, like, an incredible – like a step below Klay Thompson shooting guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then we don't have the money to give him that contract. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just re-signing George Hill, I think, adds a ton of inflexibility for a really good point guard who only played 50 games.
Sure. Sure. Well, but I think you got to look at projections. So, like,
is he also just my other note is, I mean, what are we doing with Dante Exum?
Yeah,
if we sign George Hill to a 4-year contract, we don't want to be like, in year two, we realize, Dante Exum's way good now. And so we're playing Dante Exum's backup, you know, $20 million. I don't know. Maybe we figure out some system like they play the one and the two, switch back and forth, like I said.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a guarantee.
Sure. Well, I think that's and Exum himself alluded to that in his interview. He talked about how he didn't flat out say it, but you could tell he was kind of not thrilled about how the season played out. And he also reiterated, he said, I'm a point guard, which I think was a sign to say like, hey, I'm no two guard. I'm here to handle the ball. And
yeah.
And so I get this. But like, you know, as far as ceiling goes, Rudy said he doesn't see any reason why we couldn't be a 60 win team. And
I agree with that. I just, we, it doesn't seem like the injuries are slowing down. You know what I mean?
Well, so, but the injuries, so, yeah, and I guess that's, so that's the thing. You gotta, that's what the Jazz are going to have to try and figure out, right? Was this a freak year for George Hill, or is he over 30 and he's starting to wind down? You know?
The answer to that is yes.
And that's where I disagree. I don't think so. He hasn't had a year. Usually when you see players who are just kind of like going down, they have a few games where they miss, and then they come back for a few, and then they get injured again and they miss. Hill was pretty much out for like a huge chunk of it. It wasn't like, oh, he sprained his knee and he went out, and then he came back in, oh, he hurt his hamstring. Favors came in, and then he left because he has knee soreness, and then whatever that means. And then he comes back, and he has back soreness. And then he comes back.
Yeah, well, Favors is always injured.
Yeah, and I think Hill will not have that same injury problem next year. So that's my first thing. Second thing, I think there are ways to get around the salary. Boris Diaw has a team option. We can either let him go for $7.5 million, or we can keep him for $7.5 million. You know, and I think that'll depend on who re-signs, what we think. Like, do we think we could find someone else to fill those spots, so on and so forth. But I think the Jazz's ceiling, you know, I was watching, I can't remember, something, Starters or whatever it was, and they were talking, and one guy made a point, and I agree with him. He said the Jazz this year reminded him a lot of the Golden State Warriors 4 or 5 years ago. And then he said, and I agree with, he said, I'm not saying they're going to turn into this like super juggernaut team that's like insanely good in like 2 years.
Yeah.
But he said, if you look back at the Warriors, they were good. They had drafted well, and they brought in Iguodala, and they brought in all these guys, right? And they got to like 52 wins or 50 wins, and they lost in the first round of the playoffs, but they got there. And then Steve Kerr got hired, and the next year they went crazy. They just took this huge jump that no one thought would happen. It just kind of came out of nowhere, right? And I think Utah is similar. They've built smart through the draft. Gobert, Hayward, Hood sometimes, maybe Exum has potential. Favors was a trade, but, you know, brought on his first year in the league. And then they brought in Joe Johnson, George Hill, Borsi. You know, I just think that the potential is there to take the second or the third seed in the West next year.
Yeah.
You know, I look at Houston. Houston last year was terrible. The year before, they were good. And this year, they're good. Who knows what happens next year? Like, how long can shooting three-pointers the entire game really last? But I think the Jazz could challenge for that. And I think I just think that they're just scratching their surface. And so you got to bring Hill back. I just don't think you know what you have from this team yet. But I think you've seen enough of the potential that you got to bring him back, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. I definitely agree. I think there's a ton of potential, 100% across the board. Trey Lyles could still turn out to be a really good player.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
Like, it seemed like Quinn soured on him a lot this year, but I think he definitely showed enough flashes of talent that I don't think it's worth giving up on him yet.
Yeah. Well, especially not on a rookie contract, you know.
Yeah, especially, yeah. We're paying him literally nothing.
Yeah.
It's tough with the Hill thing because it's a big commitment, and just where we're at right now, I think we will only improve by, personally, I don't see enough where it's like, okay, let's go all in, because if we go all in, then that leads to blowing it up in 3 years.
Right.
Well, when Hayward and Gobert are up, you know.
But that's assuming.
Contracts like George Hill stifle your cap space, so it makes blowing it up is kind of what you have to do.
I think giving
tons of money to players who are super old. Like, when we're paying, you know, George Hill maybe like $18 million and he's 34, is he still going to be good? He probably won't be worth $18 million at that point. Maybe he will. I don't know. I'm just saying. I think some like flexible, and Dennis Lindsay's a good GM. He can probably find ways around this. He's much better at that than me, obviously.
What?
But George Hill's, he's much better at being a GM than I am, obviously.
I'm just kidding.
I just think that George Hill's potentially huge contract would hinder our cap space in a way that would we'd lose a lot of flexibility, which I think would maybe give us two super good runs and then maybe having to blow it up instead of, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 years of continued success. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get it. But I think that blowing up, you're assuming that they don't reach their potential in 3 years. I think in 3 years, if they're still playing the way they are now, or if they're improving how they are, sorry, not still playing the same, but if they've improved in 3 years, I think they'll pay them whatever they need to keep them together. You know, I don't think they'll blow it up. Or I think it'll have become an attractive spot for someone else to maybe slide in. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe our ownership doesn't really seem like the kind of ownership that would really want to go too hard into the luxury tax. They don't. We're owned. We're not even owned. We're owned by like a trust now. We're not owned by like a person.
I own the Jazz now, baby.
Yeah, we are all the Jazz.
It's an interesting. You know, there are a lot of questions for sure. I think thank heavens we don't have to make those decisions with the money. And all that
If it comes to it when Gordon Hayward is, I will resign if George Hill is resigned, you resign George Hill in a heartbeat. Gordon Hayward is like the key. Well, Rudy, I don't know. I don't know who's more important.
That's probably for another day to talk about.
That's a close conversation. Yeah. But, all this only matters if we resign Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. Stay word. they're putting up
Definitely joined in the MVP chants during the Clippers series because MVP. One, that's way funny, and two, like, we love you, Gordon, please stay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it'd be so awesome. Well, all right, so all that said, what do you think happens, Pope? If you had to just, based on today, what you know, what you've seen, what do you think they do on signing day, or what do you think Hayward does and Hill does?
I would, maybe I'm just being too optimistic. I think we get both Hayward and Hill.
Yeah.
I just think for Hayward, I don't know. See, I have no knowledge of the emotional sense. I can't know that. On a basketball level, we can pay him the most money, and it makes a ton of sense just on a basketball level to play in. For hit that kind of player that Hayward is to be on this team right now. Yeah. That just makes a ton of sense. I have no idea where his head's at with all the emotional stuff. I can't know. But I think on a basketball level and a financial level, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So I think we keep him. And I think Hill, if the management really thinks that Hill can play more than 50 games, I think it's worth it. Though I'm scared. I am super scared of 33-34-year-old George Hill. But I think we're a really good team, and I think we'll win more games next year.
Yeah,
I don't know, but it really depends on if we're injured the same level that we are this year, then we'll be the same team. Yeah. If our starting five can play more, I think we'll be better.
Yeah, and to be fair, Hill's 31, not 34.
No, that's what I'm saying is when we're paying him like 2-3 years from now.
Yeah.
The same money that he's earning right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm afraid.
Yeah.
of.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think. I'm probably going to be sweating and stressed out until Hayward signs somewhere. But,
oh yeah, dude, I'll be freaking out. So
but like, but I think based on if it was just like, yeah, exactly. Same thing. Basketball wise, listening to the interviews, Hill and Ingles both said, like Hill said, Hayward's heart's in Utah. Ingles said, it's no secret. Me and Gordon are good friends. And I think everyone who was on the team last year wants to come back. And he said, but I'm not going to speak for everyone, but that's just what that's what I think. And so I think he'll stay. I think he likes it, from every angle, from family, from basketball, from financial, I think it's a good situation for him. And I think it's only going to get better. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think he'll stay. And I think Hill will stay. I don't know. I guess we'll see with them and hopefully.
When is free agency officially open?
July 1st, if I remember right. But
Man, that's so far away.
I know. Well, so I'm gonna hold up real quick just to make sure I'm not lying to everyone, all our millions of listeners.
We know this is your number one source for NBA knowledge.
You know what's funny is I googled NBA free agency and pretty much every thing is for Hayward. But yeah, it's sometime in July. It's like July 1st, I think you can start offering players contracts, or there's like a 1 week period where just your team you're currently on can negotiate with you if they have the bird rights, all right. that. And then,
right.
And so ideally, it's not going to happen because Hayward's going to listen to all his options. But
yeah.
Ideally, it'd be great if it was like, hey, Hayward, here's the max money. We can give you more years. We can give you a 5-year contract. We can give you more money than everyone. Take it. We love you. But
also, another thing to keep an eye out for is I don't even remember the date today.
The awards.
Next Tuesday is the draft. Not the draft, sorry. The lottery. And depending what pick Boston gets, that might influence what they try to do.
I
so that's something to keep an eye out on.
Yeah. Chances are they get a top three pick. Better chance than
I think we want them to get as high a pick as possible, because then that means they probably can either trade for or draft someone who's in a tier up from Hayward. Though they have miles and miles of cap space, so who knows?
But yeah, I know
it's probably better. If Boston gets the number one pick, that's probably a slightly better sign for us.
You would hope. Or all the speculation just gets so scary, because then it's like, well, what if Hayward says, I want to play with that really good number one pick plus Isaiah Thomas plus
But I don't know. Who knows how long that pick will take to develop? Hayward probably wants to win soon. I know.
It's so scary. Stay word.
But yeah, we'll probably do more podcasts just digging into free agency more.
Yeah.
Talking about who the Jazz could sign in free agency, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Bottom line is there's a lot going on with the Jazz. I hope we look similar to how we did this year. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Hood develops into a 45% 3-point shooter like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Lesser, but
what kind of blood sacrifice do I need to offer so that Robbie Hood becomes that good of a 3-point shooter?
I don't know.
What am I doing wrong?
and hopefully Hayward's knees, or Hayward's Favors knees, are okay. And
I don't even know if there's any blood sacrifice that can save his knees, but we'll see.
It might be sacrificing Favors knees to get Hood to the.
I'd probably do that. I don't know. I would pay the corpse of Derek Favors $12 million, so Rodney Hood would be a good 3-point shooter.
Oh man, I wish. But yeah, it should be for. It's a fun ride. You know what? For the first off season, not the first. I'm always hopeful every year with that fan optimism of like, yay, we can do it. But yeah. I will say, for the first time in a while, it's like a realistic, like a justifiable hope, where it's like, look. I think next year we're going to be better than we were this year. And this year we were in the playoffs, so that's a good thing. But
just like full stop.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, should we call it for today?
And I think we'll call it. Free yeah, we'll dive
further pod.
Yeah, as soon as, once things are a little clearer, finals are done and draft and all that, we'll dive into more. And hopefully we hear good news. Hopefully the news is Hayward loves it and everything works out. But, yeah, so that's it for this week.
Hayward.
Hayward, if you're listening.
Stay word.
All right.
I'll talk to you later, Nudie.
Yeah.